Yesterday we started to talk about this strange word that's used only a few times in the New Testament. And it's translated as regeneration, but it's palingenesia, or genesia.
What's that first? Palin?
Palin, P-A-L-I-N. But that's the Greek word that means, again, like, it's okay, I don't know, I don't want to get there, but it means regeneration has something to do about the idea of it's creating a new world. And everything in the scriptures is pointed towards that. And a lot of the parables of the Old Testament and the words of Christ were exegesis of that mystery of regeneration. And the scripture is, and I'm just, we studied it yesterday, so I don't have to go there again, but it's, and Jesus, in John 19:28, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I hate to talk about this, but I have to. The idea of a rapture before the judgment day is a novel idea. And it didn't start until Darby in the 1830s. Before that, the church knew nothing of such an idea. And the reason they don't understand that regeneration, because that's sort of like a regeneration thing, and they're going to come back, and then we're going to have dominion theology, and we're now preparing the world for Christ and all that kind of stuff. But let's go, this one we need to go to. Go to Colossians 1. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now remember, in Malachi it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the knowledge they're talking about is the knowledge of his will, this knowledge of the mystery of godliness. Now listen to what it says. The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the kingdom of the Son of his love. And the word translated is, you can get the idea of the rapture. It's the same word, remember, translated when Christ was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, metamorpho. It's the same word that we are to be translated by the renewing of our minds. But, you got to hear this, it's not something, he has already done it here. He's already translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So, the regeneration process, if you will, even its finishedness, we could see, has already occurred. That's why my insistence to you always is that you see yourself seated on the mercy seat on under the wings of the cherubim, that it's over, it's finished, it's complete, because he hath already translated us. For us, the regeneration has already occurred. Now, whether it's all that's happening in time and space is it's just being tested. Okay? Everybody understand this? So we're not waiting for some kind of yo-yo rapture thingy. It's already happened. And all that's going on is the renewing of our mind. Renewing what? So we memorize scriptures? No, renewing so that we have the mind of Christ. Oh, well, that means I have to memorize and I have to... No, all it means is that you have to empty yourself the same way that he did.
What's that word, a gradual conforming to that which...
was and is and will be. Anakinesis. That's what renewing means. I mean, the word is for renewing. But he's talking about having followed him into the regeneration, and we just read in Matthew. Now, so therefore, the regeneration must have something to do first with him and then with us. If we follow him into the regeneration, and what is necessary for the regeneration to occur is that you must be born again. Now, it's well known throughout, read the scriptures, and even in secular literature, that it's man is lost, hopeless. I mean, it's just crazy that man is, in fact, dead. That's what mortal means. Mortal means we are mortal flesh, mortal man. Mortal means dead. Do you all know that? And so that which is dead cannot please God. All that we are doing in the mercy and the long suffering of God is it's called corruption. It appears to our senses that it's a slow death. It may take 70 years or whatever. But the fact is that you're dead when you're born. That's why better is the day of man's death than the day of his birth. Okay, so everything in the scriptures and everything about you is centered on one issue. You must be born again. Because even logic says that we cannot possibly please God or attain to God or attain to his righteousness with what we've been given by the flesh. All you have to know is that it ain't working. And that doesn't take a genius. And I've never met a person in my entire life who thought it was working. But they all thought that if they did something else or held their mouth differently or went something else or went some other place or got rid of 150 pounds of fat by divorcing their wife, then they would be okay again. Okay again. Okay again. And that's the deceit of your mind. But nothing can transpire from God's perspective until you're born again. Now, I've used this this thing where the human race is simply God's sperm cell. And the sperm must join with the egg. The egg is the New Jerusalem. And that's the process of being born again. When you're born again, you lose the need for individual righteousness, individual anything. So now you pass through that membrane of the egg, and once you do, you are inexorably changed. Now, For some, it may take like, for what did it take? Moses, 80 years? It's a pastor. Paul took 21 years before he wrote a letter. It took Christ 30 years before he ministry began. So don't get upset if it's taking a while, but never be satisfied for anything other than the knowledge that you're born again. Know this, your own self. Know it, know it, know it. Prove to your own self that Jesus Christ is in you. Well, how do I do that? if you know, then nobody has to tell you. Now, and let's go to John 3.
What part does man play in the process of being born?
Honesty? That's all.
What you're talking about and what you just asked, it's the thing about the law, the male and female aspects of the law, that there's nothing in the law that the wife has to do. Nothing active. It's just thou shalt not. It's just the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ just have to see him, and that's it.
Amen.
It all...
That's why the body is the weaker vessel. We are the weaker vessel. We are carried, if you want to use this analogy, we are carried. Remember, the weaker vessel was the one that was shaped like a V. It could never be set down. It's because that's what the blood was carried in, and when it was sprinkled, so that the blood wouldn't clot. It was always in movement. So the blood never stopped. The blood was never set down. The weaker vessel, which is we call the females, but they're all of us are the weaker vessel. If we're the bride of Christ, we are carried in the arms of God. Well, I don't like this. Tough. I'm going to go someplace else. All right. But you're still going to be carried in the arms of God, even though he's probably going to break your legs so he can carry you closer.
You're still going to be a girl.
You're still a girly man, yeah. Now, it doesn't, the thing that I've got to get across to you is none of this takes anything other than being. Instead of acting like you're being. Good morning. I hope that it was a burp.
I'm seeing this in light of, like, the idea of being born again is not repeating a prayer. You can't say the prayer. And then,
oh, yeah. That's what I love. I love altar calls. Where in the hell did that start?
Darby.
Huh? No, it was much later than
every
that.
Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. No one moving.
No one peeked.
Because even in the time of Spurgeon, the great preacher back in the mid-1800s.
Man, John Edwards, nobody had altar calls.
They said, go home and think about all this.
I think it started out as a new move of God.
Ronnie, you've been listening to way too much religious television. What? What did he say?
He just came out with that a minute ago. Crack me up.
What?
Boom shakalaka.
The new amen.
God.
There's no question that mankind has fallen from the kingdom of God, and mankind cannot return on his own strength. He cannot return, period. Now let's go to John 3. Let's look at this. This altar call thing, when did that start? Somebody knows. If they let me, somebody let me know.
We wrote an article on
it. Very popular now.
That's an amazing command of the obvious.
Billy Graham started it.
No. First of all, we got to start at chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. That's the predicate. Man was hopeless, lost. He didn't commit himself to any man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin, wealthy family. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you doest except God be with you. Now remember, he just got through saying he needed not that any man should testify. And here he is, like it's the analogous to the majority leader of the Senate. It comes to him. And he just kind of ignored him. Listen to what he said. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is going, what the hell does that mean? I didn't say anything about that. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, can't even perceive the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know and testify that which we have seen, or testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, and the Son of Man which is in heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, that's a pretty wild little segment. And what Jesus, I believe, was doing is he was exegeting Ezekiel's prophecy or the Valley of the Dry Bones. He was saying the only way that these dead bones that happen to be walking around can have life is from a different source. He said, no man... You can't go to heaven unless you came from heaven. Now, but Paul says we've already been translated there. We're already there. We're in the kingdom of the Son of His love. So elsewhere, we're seated with Him. The only place He's seated is on the mercy seat. Again, my question to you, do you know that you've been born again? If you don't, then I don't want to hear about it. I'm not going to try to talk you into anything. But if you don't know it with 100% that you are born again, then don't give sleep to your eyes or rest to your head until you know the habitation of the Holy One of Israel. But be careful. Count the cost. Because for you to be born again, it will cost you everything. Even your very life. It's not religion. This has nothing to do with your activity or your lack of it. It's already settled that you're hopeless. everything else about what I say and teach and have done for 30 years will just be words unless you have been born again. Now, you can argue. Well, you can argue with yourself about it. Well, I think I've been born again. No. See, I mean, the arguments go on and on. Well, sometimes I forget I've been born again. No, you don't forget. The evil one has seduced you. And you've gone off and committed fornication. Doesn't mean you're not married. Just means you screwed up. But if your constant life is based on the value systems of the world, you can bet you haven't been born again. We're going to spend a little more time on this before we go back to Ecclesiastes. Because I've got a whole much more studying to do on Ecclesiastes. I found a whole new Ecclesiastes world in the books. Anyway, anybody have any thoughts? Okay, go to Ezekiel 37 or 38, one of them. 37. What?
Why should Ezekiel predict the dry bones?
You're going to start singing for us now? Them bones, them bones, them dry bones, them bones, them bones.
I don't know the song.
Huh?
I don't really know the song. I just know that phrase.
You don't know that song? You never heard that song?
You never heard that song?
You don't have that in Minnesota.
The toe bone is connected to the foot bone. That's all. Foot bone is connected to the nose bone. No, that's it. No.
To try and comprehend all of this and digest it intellectually is impossible. But
for some.
For
I couldn't. I could not resist. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know you. That was just a layup. I'm sorry, Gary.
He closes the door.
But the option of emptying self is easy for everyone. I mean, comparison. To empty self should require very little compared to try and comprehend it.
No, that's what life is about, is the knowledge of this, and so the knowledge of this is, there's some great quotes, I think I got them here. These are from these books that are no longer canonized. In Fourth Ezra, it says, "The day of doom shall be the end of all. The end of this time and the beginning of the immortality wherein corruption is past." And that was what happened on the birth of Christ.
Yeah, what is, I missed the first, the day of what?
The day of doom shall be the end of this time. Remember Rosh Hashanah, the birth of Christ, was Judgment Day. You understand that? All right. And also in 4th Ezra, "Sorrows are past, and in the end it showed the true treasure or true riches of immortality."
See what I mean?
Way to go, Wade.
Way to go, Wade.
Right at the bus.
I need to get this point, too. You're probably going to miss it.
All right. That's all right. Harry's bringing it right back. Oh. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the..." What?
What chapter?
Ezekiel? The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And I didn't see. All he did was God opened his eyes so he could see that all flesh was dead. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very, very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, remember the story of Jacob, where they couldn't bury him in Egypt, and they brought his bones back to the promise? What the hell was that about? Anybody remember? Huh?
I don't
remember
what it's about, but I remember
this. You don't remember me. I'm speaking in tongues. Me. It's funny how many me's there are when people speak in tongues. Me. Anyhow, before I was so rudely interrupted by myself, it's critical for the why no bones of Christ were broken. Why is that important? Remember, there's the positive and the negative commandments.
Yeah, one's the number of bones.
One's the number of the bones in the body, and numbers of days of the year. I'm going to wait and talk about that tomorrow. It's time. I'm not doing too good.
When you were reading and talking about the thing about Nicodemus, I just kind of tripped back to many years ago. You know the joke about what dogs hear? They just hear blah, 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 blah. Good dog, blah, 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 blah. Well, I was like that going to church and studying religion in college, and it was just blah, 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 blah. And then I heard a tape of a guy teaching on you must be born again, and it was like I could hear every word. And I was just kind of remembering that it was out of the sea of blah, 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 came this guy speaking English.
Yeah, that's good. Man, I'd give my eye tooth for a shot of morphine right this minute.
Anybody got a shot of morphine?
What day is it today?
Wednesday.
This is the no taco day.
Today.
This is your day.
And I'm going back to bed, so somebody else will go get you Tomaine.
Tomaine wrap.
Tomaine wrap.
A couple of botulism.
Take it, big guy, quickly.
Slide order.